also. He's just finished describing the dynasty coming from the son of Swayambhuva Manu, Uttanapat, Shukadev Goswami. And now he's going to describe the dynasty coming from the other son of Uttanapat named Priyavrata. And he will do so following the footsteps of the previous acharyas, Anuvarnitaha. That's what the verse says, simply. So I said, okay, I can move forward. And the next verse, I did not read the Sanskrit of this. This is just a translation. Although Maharaj Priyavrata received instructions from the great sage Narada, he still engaged in ruling the earth. After fully enjoying material possessions, he divided his property among his sons. He then attained the position by which he could return home back to Godhead. So he gave a summary of the life of Priyavrata, which he will describe beginning in the next canto. Then this next verse is here. Translation. My dear king, in this way, after hearing the transcendental messages of the Supreme Personality of Godhead and his devotees from the great sage Maitreya, Vidura was overwhelmed with ecstasy. With tears in his eyes, he immediately fell down at the lotus feet of his guru, his spiritual master. He then fixed the Supreme Personality of Godhead within the core of his heart. Purport by Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. This is a sign of associating with great devotees. A devotee takes instructions from a liberated soul and is thus overwhelmed by ecstasy from transcendental pleasure. As stated by Prahlad Maharaj, Naishamatis tavar uru kramangrim sprishati anarta apagamo yad arta mahiyasham padarajo abhishekam niskin janaanam navrinita yavad. Srimad Bhagavatam 7.5.32. One cannot become a perfect devotee of the Lord without having touched the lotus feet of a great devotee. One who has nothing to do with this material world is called niskinchana. The process of self-realization and the path home back to Godhead means surrendering to the bona fide spiritual master and taking the dust of his lotus feet on one's head. Thus one advances on the path of transcendental realization. Vidura had this relationship with Maitreya and he attained the results. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Om Agyanta Mirandasya Giranjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manopishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Vancha Kalpaturubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Merevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadahar Shri Vasari Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna. So Vidura is receiving instructions from Maitreya Muni is now being coming to an end, and he will return home to Hastinapur to enlighten his brother Dhritarashtra. That was his primary reason for going home. We will hear coming up, because he already knew that most of the dynasty, Yadu dynasty, everyone had disappeared from the planet. But he was desirous of benedicting his brother, which we heard in the first canto. After hearing instructions from Maitreya Muni, then he experienced great ecstasy. So Srila Prabhupada is pointing out to us here in the purport that this is the sign of associating with great devotees. So we're not experiencing great ecstasy. Maybe we're not properly associating. That might be something worth considering. The path of coming to the point of experiencing great ecstasy, Srila Prabhupada is also noted here. A devotee takes instructions from a liberated soul and is thus overwhelmed by ecstasy from transcendental pleasure. So this actually forms the process of coming to the platform of ecstatic devotion to Lord Krishna. It begins by taking, rendering service to great souls. Mahat Sevam Dwaram Ahur Vimukti, that mentioned in the Bhagavatam. Tamo Dwaram Yoshitam Sanghi Sangam, that door we know very well. Dwaram means door. Tamo Dwaram, the door that leads to hell, is the path of associating with the object of sex desire. Yoshita Sanghi Sangam, that is the path leading to hell. And the path that leads to liberation is the service of great souls. Mahat Sevam Dwaram, the door of Vimukti. Vimukti means a very special type of liberation. Liberation in the supreme service of Godhead is opened up by rendering service to the great souls. So Prabhupada is quoting this famous verse in the purport. Its context of this verse is Hiranyakashipu inquired from Prahlad Maharaj, how did he become such a great devotee of Lord Krishna? Of course, he didn't inquire so nicely. He said it in a kind of rude way, but it was a good question. So, Rasagya, gotta take the essence. It was a good question. And to that, Prahlad Maharaj begins his reply by saying, Mater ne Krishne paratasvato va mito abhipadyeta grihavratanam adanta gobe vishitam tamishram puna puna shavita chavananam. You know this verse, this famous verse. Mater ne Krishne, the inclination towards Krishna is never aroused in a person, neither by receiving instructions from others, neither by his own endeavor, swata, his own endeavor, neither by a mutual discussion of the various transcendental literatures. Is one able to actually gain a real inclination towards Krishna? Adanta gobe vishatam tamishram. Rather, his senses and mind being unbridled, they gradually drag him down to hell. And he continues to chew that which has already been chewed. So this is famous verses there. So in the very outset, Prahlad Maharaj is mentioning that one cannot become a great devotee by his own endeavor. It is becoming somewhat of a popular kind of opinion, maybe within our institution, that it may be sufficient, or suffice it to say, is it sufficient to just read the books and make transcendental spiritual advancement. But we would like to point out that Prahlad Maharaj here is indicating that by one's own endeavors, that may not actually be possible. Because the very fact of the matter is, we're bound up by the modes of material nature. Daivyesha gunamayi mamamaya daratyaya. And to transcend the bondage of the modes of material nature is not possible for one who's bound by the modes of material nature. It's simple understanding. Srila Prabhupada's expression of it is, if your hands and feet are tied, how do you untie yourself? So when we approach the transcendence by a method of empiricism, the ascending method of trying to penetrate the transcendence, even though bound by the hands and feet by various material conceptions, then our understanding of the transcendence will actually be blocked. Just like, simple point, Krishna was on the planet. So many people saw Krishna. How many understood Krishna? Naham prakasha sarvasya yoga maya samavrita mudoyam namijananti lokoyam jamavyayam. Krishna says that even though so many people saw him, they were covered by the curtain of yoga maya, the modes of material nature, which blocked their actual appreciation of the transcendence. They could not appreciate Krishna. Rather, there is inclination to offend Krishna. So one who is bound by the hands and feet, they cannot understand. So similarly, the transcendental literatures are a manifestation of Krishna. And therefore, to think that we can understand Krishna just based on the principle of reading them and then extrapolating our own form of guidance from them is a serious misunderstanding. If you shall carefully read the scriptures and carefully read Srila Prabhupada's purports, they always indicate to us to take guidance of a self-realized soul. That is always the direction that they point in. Now, provided it may be the case that one does not have such opportunity, perhaps we were hearing from Ananta Chaitanya Prabhu how he was chanting Hare Krishna And he had Bhagavad Gita, and that was it for, like, I think he mentioned 4 years, no association. But when he read Srila Prabhupada's books, what was the understanding that he got from them? He told us, I was prepared to climb over the Himalayan mountains to find out a bona fide spiritual master, because that's what Srila Prabhupada had mentioned in the books. And therefore, that was my understanding. If I want to perfect my chanting, if I want to get real substantial understanding of what I'm reading in the books, then I need someone who can help me gain that divine eye by which I can penetrate the spiritual substance. That is always the natural conclusion one would come to by reading the books without a cricket mentality. That's a natural conclusion, no doubt about it. Hiranyakashipu was saying, well, what about all your teachers? Shukracharya is there, Amara is there. How can you criticize them? So then Prahlad Maharaj says the second verse. What is that? Natevidu swarthagatim hi vishnum darashaye bahir arthamanina andanyatandarabhani yamanas tepisha tantram unadamni bada. These are famous verses. Prabhupada sings them as a bhajan, these three verses. So he says, they don't know what is the goal of life. No cognition. Natevidu swarthagatim hi vishnu. They're simply interested in politicking, friends and enemies. That's all they're interested in. They don't know what is the actual goal of life. Rather, Dharashaya Bahirartha Manina. They take materialistic things extremely seriously. All materialistic things they take very important. Their cake, their, what's a good expression? Their butter. What is that saying? Their bread and butter. Their bread and butter is all politicking, friends, enemies. That is their bread and butter. All the material things they take very seriously. Andanya tandar upaniyamanas, they are blind. And persons who follow them, they are also blind. Because they, one, the tendency, especially in Kali Yuga, is to accept a guru who will satisfy my mind and senses, the various perverse predilections of my mind and senses. And then say, oh, that is my guru. Just like I heard like this in India, sometimes when they want to give initiation on the television, they say, okay, how many of you want to do Durga worship? Then they give some mantra. Okay, how many of you want to do Shiva worship? Give some mantra. Like that. And then they say, oh, that is my guru day. Soon as he shall give an instruction for pure devotional service, he is not my guru. He's not bona fide. Therefore, I rejected him. I'm not rejected. If he was bona fide, I would have accepted him, but he is not bona fide. Why? Because he didn't satisfy my mind and senses. There's a whole understanding. As a result of accepting such type of gurus, they remain bound up by the most material. They cannot get free. Because the person is themselves bound, how they were free is like if you're bound by their hands and legs, you can't like roll over and try to... You may be thinking like that. I'll roll over and I'm buying... Okay, we can make it work out. We'll work together. Teamwork here. I'll roll over to your robes and then I'll untie them, then you untie mine. No, both persons are bound up. They cannot do any good for each other. That's what Prahlad Maharaj said in the first verse. So then, what is the hope? So only one hope. Naishamati stavarukramangrim sprashati anartha apagamo yararta mahiyasham pararajo abhishekam niskinchananam navrinityava. Only one hope is mentioned in this verse. The hope is given. It is a hope that all anartas, anartha apagamo means all anartas can be eradicated, beginning with the bodily concept of life, Srila Prabhupada says. This is the primary foundational anartha by which our material existence is perpetuated. All these anartas can be eradicated in a simple way. If our mati means consciousness or intelligence like that, is touching spirituality. If his consciousness shall touch or bathe, mahiyasham padarajo abhishekam, shall bathe in the dust of the lotus feet of pure devotees who are in this kinchana, then at that time he can become free. Otherwise, not possible. And this is what is mentioned in the verse. Narottam Das Thakur sings, Vaishnava Charana Renu, Bhushana Kariyatanu, Jahai Hoite Anubhavahai, Mahajana Hai Bhajana, Sarusange Enukshana, Avidya Agana Avidya Parajai. He mentions that my greatest ornament Ornament means that which makes a person very attractive, right? We wear ornaments, get the ears pierced, you know, to look very attractive. Just in case he happens to see, you can tell him. Then to try to attract the attention of others. You know, one wears ornaments look very beautiful. Narottam Das Thakur says that my only ornament is the dust of the lotus feet of pure devotee. That's my only ornament. And by bathing myself in such dust, dahe hoite anubhavahai, one gets great transcendental realizations. So one may wonder, how is possible just by taking the dust of a devotee, one gets transcendental realizations? So it is mentioned by Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur that it's mentioned here, Sprishti Mati, when his consciousness is bathed in the Vaishnava's character and in the Vaishnava's shiksha, then it is said that he is bathing his mind or intelligence, his heart, his consciousness in the dust of the lotus feet of pure devotees. To constantly be thinking about their character, about their pastimes, their instructions. In this way, one is bathing his consciousness, and by doing so, one gains great transcendental realization. The other idea that has been expressed in saying, approaching the Prabhupada says here, one cannot become a perfect devotee of the Lord without having touched the lotus feet of a great devotee. So the other idea being expressed in this visual is generally the conditioned souls suffer from a disease called pratishta. We're greatly proud, generally. And therefore, we think that we can capture everything within the fist of our hands. There's our whole understanding. Our whole understanding of knowledge is dead, right? You go to a library, it's all dead knowledge, right? You go to a library, you just take it off the bookshelf and you can read it and you can capture it within your hand. That's our whole understanding of knowledge. So when we come to the transcendental knowledge, we think also we can capture it with our hand. Easily we can understand. I don't need any help of any guru. I don't need any help of any sadhu. I myself capture it within my hand, I'll understand everything. This is the disease of the conditioned souls. It is called false prestige. false prestige means no inclination to hear from anyone, only inclination to read. This is called false prestige. Arrogant approach to Krishna consciousness. Arrogant approach. I'm not trying to highlight or deprecate or depreciate the superlative value of the transcendental literatures. Obviously, that's not my point. Try to understand. But I'm rather wanting to bring to our attention a tendency that certainly probably exists in all of us because of a lack of faith, pure devotional faith, that there can be the manifestation of divinity in this world in the form of guru and sadhu. It is not so easy to gain such a faith, especially if you have to be under the constant tutelage of such persons. If you only see them once a year, that's quite nice, because I can continue on with my own perverse way of living my life without having to be told at every step that I'm doing something wrong. That's quite comfortable. But if I have to exist in the constant tutelage of such qualified person, it becomes very unbearable for the conditioned soul because of the disease of false prestige. So it's easy to imagine that we have faith in God, but not faith in Guru. Why? Because God never says anything to you, right? Or yeah, well, he speaks to me because I read the Bhagavad Gita. That time he was speaking to me, and then you can draw your own conclusions. Just like at the one of these Paramahamsa Yoga Studios, they said that the essence of Bhagavad Gita was like some verse in chapter 6 that talked about sitting up straight and keeping the eyes concentrated in the middle of the nose. They were mentioning this as the essence of Bhagavad Gita. All the verses in Bhagavad Gita that one could have mentioned, they said that this was the essence. A devotee was telling me about this. I was like, what is this? Chapter 6 itself, Yogi Namapi Sarvesham, he concludes the chapter by saying that better than the karmi is a gyani, better than the gyani is a yogi, so therefore become a yogi, and of all yogis, the best yogi is a devotee. No, they didn't quote that verse. It's some verse saying he sits like this, he looks like this. What is going on? So it is easy, because you never have to consider the pleasure of a person. When you separate teachings and teacher, you can manipulate the teachings however you want. But if you have to take the teachers in relationship to the person, then there is no such opportunity for manipulation. Therefore, the conditioned souls don't like that. They like spirituality that's rather ambiguous, and that way there's room for manipulation or artificially imposing our small-mindedness onto the thing and then calling it a wholesome realization. This tendency is very prominent. There's no doubt about it. So therefore, it is mentioned this analogy of touching the lotus feet of a devotee means to cast away all false prestige, all for obeisances. Not only with the body, but with the mind, with the heart. You offer obeisances at the lotus feet of a devotee, casting away all false prestige, and you hear from such a devotee. Gane Prayasamudapashinamanta Eva Jivanti Samukaritambhavidya. We quoted this verse last time. Casting away all false prestige, thinking that I'll understand what is spiritual life on my own strength, and go to a devotee and hear from such a devotee. Hearing means surrender and then hear. Prabhupada says that. The process of self-realization and the path home back to God, it means surrendering to the bona fide spiritual master and taking the dust of his lotus feet on one's head. You surrender and hear. Otherwise, without being surrendered, then one cannot do any hearing. Only one argues. It's the only thing. When one is not surrendered, he hears, he only argues. He never actually hears anything. Or he always speculates that the person speaking is himself manipulating. Because he's envious. He reads more in between the lines than the actual lines. Whatever the speaker is saying, that is not considered. Whatever the speaker doesn't say, that is what is considered. That is an all-important point. Even though it's a point that he didn't make, but you know, because he's manipulating, suspicious mind. So, therefore, hearing is very difficult in Kali Yuga for this reason. There's a verse by Sanatana Goswami, Jayati Jayati Nama Nanda Rupam Murare, Viramita Nija Dharma Dhyana Puja Dhyatnam, Katamapi Sakridatam Mukti Dham Prani Nam Yat Paramamamritam Ekam Jivanam Bhushaname. I don't know how I remember this verse. It's like a long time I learned it. From Briya Bhagavatamrita in his preamble, he mentions that all glories to the holy name of Krishna, which is the Ananda Rupam, the ecstatic form of bliss. He mentions Viramita Nidra Dharma Dhyana Puja Dhyatnam. Casting away Nidra Dharma means Varnashram Dharma. Casting away Dhyana, yoga, meditation. Casting away Puja, Archana, casting in adi. Adi means other processes of devotional service like hearing. We'll explain that just because of the context of what I'm saying in the discussion. Casting away all these things, if one takes shelter of the holy name of Krishna, katamapi sakridatam praninam mukti damya, and chants even one holy name of Krishna, certainly he will get liberation. Paramamamritam ekam, this holy name of Krishna is my supreme. It is a concentrated form of nectar, my life, and my only ornament. He prays like this. So in the commentary, offers explanation because naturally he's like, hold on, this is a little bit, doesn't make sense. And the point is that because he comments that in other forms of devotional service, there are a lot of complications. And the example that is offered in the commentary is the hearing process. And the hearing process, one complication is the right person. Another complication is the right, being endowed with the right type of faith to hear, which means surrender and then hear. There's so many complications. Therefore, go on chanting more Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada says by chanting Hare Krishna, we can be rescued from misconceptions and the nectar of instruction. He mentions this thing. And Sanatana Goswami also mentions this. So more and more chanting of the holy name of Krishna. Why? So we can come to the point of real shraddha, by which we can hear properly and then deepen our chanting. So the last point here. Thus one advances on the path of transcendental realization. How? By surrendering to the bona fide spiritual master and taking the dust of his lotus feet on one's head. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur was very powerful because he was able to organize his literatures in such a way that they attracted the perverse mentalities of those who were inclined towards empiric study of knowledge. And he kind of was able to organize spiritual knowledge in such a way that it was very appealing, that it is very appealing even to this day, to the empiric mindset. So he was able to gain many followers and disciples amongst the intelligentsia. After his disappearance, they were thinking that they would be able to make all spiritual advancement on the strength of his teachings alone, without actually having to do the work of surrendering themselves to pure devotees of Krishna who are present in life. So Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur wrote an essay, which I read on the disappearance day of Bhaktivinoda Thakur, expressing that this was a great misunderstanding on their part. And he mentions there that transcendental literatures, or transcendence in general, when it manifests itself in the material world, has two faces, the deluding face and the transcendental face. He says that the deluding face is available to conditioned souls, but the transcendental face is only available to pure devotees of the Lord. And therefore, if we want to gain access to the transcendental face of the scriptures, then it is necessary, an indispensable necessity, to approach pure devotees of the Lord who actually know the language of transcendence, and then they must communicate it to us. This is, it's a lot, it's a, many points are made. I cannot go through all the details. It would take at least 1 to 2 hours. But the essence points I'm trying to express here. So, anyway, this is coming from a conversation Ashraya Prabhu and I had the other day. So I'm just taking from that inspiration from that particular discussion we had at the table the other day. I, in conclusion, want to mention that it is a challenge for us to put faith in the association of devotees because of our own various anarthas. No doubt about it. I have myself so many struggles with it. And therefore, we can always take shelter of the reality, the true reality, that Srila Prabhupada is a pure devotee of the Lord, and therefore, at least we can take shelter of that, that and have confidence that his literatures, you know, his lectures on the videos, we have so much information on Srila Prabhupada, by the grace of modern technology. And we can take shelter of Srila Prabhupada and try to improve our heart's disposition. No one can deny the fact that Srila Prabhupada is like a big tidal wave of love of Godhead that inundated the world. However, Narahari Sarkar points out that in the Ganges waters, there may be big waves, and there may be also small waves. And we don't say that the big waves are more sacred than the small waves, although the big waves have greater force. We don't say that they're more sacred than the smaller waves. We would never make that understanding. They're all sacred. They all have very purifying, although there is an etiquette to be followed in terms of the level of spiritual force that is perceived, and in particular Vaishnava. There's a proper etiquette. I'm not going to go into all the details of this Guru Tattva that is mentioned in one book, Sri Krishna Bhajanamrita, very nicely printed by ISKCON for the benefit of enlightenment about the Guru Tattva principle. So my point is rather to draw our attention to the fact that certainly there are still pure devotees on the planet today, and that we should not lack faith in that point, because if it is the case that there are no pure devotees on the planet, there is no question of spiritual improvement. There's no question, because we're bound up by the hands and feet. So it may be hard to see what is the level of purity, not hard to see, impossible to see, when one is bound up by the modes of material nature. But they are certainly there. And it is the responsibility of the individual to cultivate the desire for such sangha. Then he will see by the grace of Krishna such devotees. Then he can hear from them with faith and make progress. Sometimes we are saying, Srila Prabhupada has told this thing in NOI 5, that we should be careful to accept the Uttama Adhikari as our guru. Otherwise, we might be led astray, or else if they're neophyte or Madhyama, they can only bring us to their level and they can't take us any further. That is true. We should be careful to accept Uttama Adhikari as our guru. But how you will find such a Uttama Adhikari when you're blind? How to find such souls? So then we should be careful or consider the necessity of cultivating the desire for such associate, the desire for real spiritual life, by which Krishna may mercifully grace us with the association. I would rather say, help us to recognize such sangha, even amongst the community of devotees. Otherwise, there will be a tendency for excessive speculation, and as a result, a tendency for offense, and cultivating the wrong type of mentality, which would be actually subversive to our actual achievement of any form of transcendence, even in the most rudimentary form. So I wanted to kind of express that particular point to try to nourish my own personal faith, and you know, maybe the faith of the devotees, that the greatest glory, in my opinion, everyone's entitled to an opinion. It's like the backside. There's a saying like that. That in my opinion, Srila Prabhupada's greatest glory is that he manifested in this world by his own pure devotion so many other pure devotees to continue the living current of his mission in this world. And therefore, we should have faith in that so we can render service and therefore benefit our, privately speaking, eternally damned souls. So that's my point. I think I'm supposed to end on a sweet point. That kind of wasn't the sweetest point. But it's meant to be sweet. It's meant to inspire faith and pure devotional sangha, that it is still existing even today. We want to be careful not to convert the whole process of Christian consciousness into matter in the way that the Christians have done, and basically saying that there's no one else but Jesus, and everyone else is basically more or less useless. You know, of course you can formally respect them, but they're more or less useless. So anyway, I have a particular way of expressing myself, which is not generally Madhurya. It's not generally very sweet. But I try to be as much as possible Odarya, a little magnanimous, you know, and trying to... anyway, this is my level of faith, you know. So I'm giving expression. I know it may not be appreciated, but what to do? We try to see the essence. Sorry, Gary. Hare Krishna. Yeah.
And I was thinking about book distribution, because it seems that the most important thing is to help a living entity acquire the sufficient sukriti so that he has the faith to actually inquire from advanced souls. And you were pointing out that empiric study of the books isn't going to help. It may even derail us. So how are we to understand our Sankirtan efforts in light of this conversation?
No, easy. You drop transcendental bombs. You know, tick, 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 boom. Understand? That's true. The Prabhupada said this. He said the books are like bombs. You know, maybe you have to be careful because of the type of terrorism that's going on. And you know, bombs in a religious context don't usually hold the greatest weight. But Prabhupada said that if they have a book, you know, who knows who the book is for? But it's ticking. Tick, 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 tick. And when it explodes, then you're going to get a devotee that's coming out of that situation. So our business, Srila Prabhupada said it was our business, was to drop, you know, transcendental literatures all over the world and let the ticking process begin. And when it explodes, then you're going to have so many pure devotees coming out. So the point is that when anyone sincerely reads Srila Prabhupada's books, as I expressed in the beginning of class, then Srila Prabhupada's books give a certain direction to one's life in terms of the type of activity they should take up. And my particular point of highlight was that it will give us the impetus to seek out the association of devotees, seek out the association of a spiritual master. That's the natural reading of Srila Prabhupada's books, at least natural reading that I got, and natural reading, I would venture to say, that many got. And therefore, they've joined our institution. So it is our business to do so, like that. Time bomb. Hare Krishna, Shri Prabhu. Shri Prabhu, then you get close.
And just on that point, too, it is meant to bring people into the Association of Devotees, which is the reason why Srila Prabhupada established the International Society for Krishna Consciousness, so they would get devotee association after they read his books. But the one thing that occurred to me with this whole discussion of, like, you know, being able to accept a guru or whatever is, like, the external conceptions that we have of what it means to take guidance from somebody or, like, what a guru is and that kind of thing. And he touched, Nityananda Prabhu touched on it, just the idea of taking the essence. And you also were discussing that point. It's, and the way that I have been taught how to understand who is somebody that can guide you is basically just hearing some instructions and trying to follow them and seeing what the result is. If the result is advancement in Krishna consciousness, then what you received is something bona fide. So that's my feeling, is like we have so much processing up here about what a guru is as opposed to looking for opportunities to make advancement in Krishna consciousness, that the mind prevents the living entity, for lack of a better way to express it, from just accessing, you know, what's available to him. So how, and those are just some thoughts that I had. I don't know how it exactly fits into what you were saying, but I mean, I feel like it's relevant.
I would like to use two words that may make it a little clearer, that Srila Prabhupada himself usually uses in discussion of this particular topic, the words training and apprenticeship. So although we do generally tend to have an externally orientated conception of everything in Krishna consciousness, including guru, and therefore, you know, we think being with the guru in proximity and so many things that may be externally orientated, but the fact of the matter is that most of the conditioned souls require training in the process of hearing, training, and, or the other word that I use, Srila Prabhupada uses, is apprenticeship, which means training. It means learning how to hear, learning how to. It means, you know, going through the process, making so many mistakes, bringing the mistakes. Either the personalities are there to see the mistakes and correct it, or you're bringing the doubts forward and they're correcting. This is the process of training. So training is necessary for most of the lot of devotees who will be coming to the Krishna consciousness movement. Of course, there would be others who are perhaps made very much a lot of advancement previously, and they may not require so much of careful, let's say, guidance and so on. That may or may not be the case. But as a general point, which Srila Prabhupada stresses in his books, is training is required. Like that. Otherwise, the tendency to is like imaginative, speculative extrapolation. You know, Srila Prabhupada spoke to me. I opened up randomly. That can happen. I'm not saying it can't happen. But coming up, you have a certain way you want to move in life, and you're finding confirmations all over the place. Oh, Srila Prabhupada is told here. Oh, Srila Prabhupada is told here. Everywhere I'm finding confirmation. And that may not actually be the proper method of development for the individual. So anyway, it may or may not be. So in order to clarify, then there's supposed to be the going to, you know, superior guidance. That means in a living way, in a living force. Oh, you want to? Go ahead. because Chris wanted to ask something. It's connected to that.
Ashrapa, with the way that you were expressing how we determine, you know, the quality of the guide and the guidance, I was wondering, maybe you could clarify for me. The way I heard was that we hear something, this is an instruction, and then we carry it out, and depending on the result that we get, if it's advancing us in Krishna consciousness, then we can see this is a bona fide person, and the guidance also is good. I'm wondering if at a certain point that would be kind of a problematic approach. Because my understanding is that we require implicit faith in both the guide and the guidance he is giving. Not that I will reserve, you know, I'll wait and see what happens, and then I'll decide, you know, whether or not. Is that making sense? Yeah, so that at the beginning, we have to fully accept, you know, whatever the instruction is, not that we wait until see what happens.
Anyway, that might not be possible. It depends on the level of contamination of the individuals. We are doubtful jivas on account of our training, modern training, and on account of lifetimes of material contamination. And the God, what do you call it? The God principle? The God concept? The God particle, you know, this is a book. So on account of that, it may not be possible for us to do immediately implicit faith in, you know, Guru and Gora like that. So therefore, there's some guidance is given, and you see if it works. And then you gain more confidence. And then you follow that, and you see if it works, and you gain more confidence. Therefore, a statement that Srila Prabhupada Maharaj often mentions in his initiation lectures from an essay of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur is that at the time of initiation, the experience that one receives at the time of initiation is proportionate to the degree of surrender of the individual. And therefore, it may not be the same for all persons. And as they surrender more, then their subjective experience will be more, their confidence will be more, etc. So it may not be possible for everyone to, you know, come to the point. Not only not possible, generally it takes a while. You know, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur tells in that essay also that the true guru and the true disciple are both denizens of the spiritual world. And I felt totally depressed when I read that. And then in the next sentence he says, but he said this relationship, guru-disciple relationship, can be realized in the material world, otherwise there would be no question of religion. So then I was like, okay, that makes sense, you know, otherwise I was a little bit concerned. So we may not be able to imitate Narottam Das Thakur going to clean up the bowel movements of his guru. You know, we hear it, we might say, wow, that's really nice, and if opportunity were to come upon us, we nahi, nahi. No, thank you. Because of lack of that level of faith. You know, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur was going to Gaurakishore Das Babaji asking for initiation. First time, Gaurakishore Das Babaji, he says no. Second time, he said, okay, let me ask Mahaprabhu. Then third time, he comes back, I forgot to ask Mahaprabhu. Like this, he was coming again and again and again, and Gaurakishore Das Babaji was not accepting. Finally, Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur said, I'll go and drown myself in the Ganga. What is the use of my useless life? I don't see anyone here saying like that, anyone thinking like that. If I don't get guru, I'm prepared to drown myself. Anyway, don't get any crazy thoughts. I'm just, huh? So you give me initiation? I want initiation. If you don't give me initiation, I'm going to drown myself in the Ganga. Hare Krishna. See you next life. So that type of deep devotion, you know, it's hardly, you know, imaginable, what to speak of imitating it. So we're not meant to imitate it, but rather try to capture the essence of the principle. And, you know, it may take someone longer to actually capture the essence of the principle. Not only capture it, but have faith in it. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur further tells in the same essay that the whole crux of the matter of initiation lies not in the ceremony itself, which is anyway unintelligible for conditioned souls, being an activity of the other world. which is quite interesting because usually we hear the idea that it's just a formal thing. But Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur says it's actually an activity of the spiritual realm. And therefore, the actual ceremony is not intelligible for conditioned souls. So he says the whole crux of the matter lies in the necessity of and the firm conviction that I have selected a bona fide spiritual master. That is the essence of what initiation is all about. The firm conviction of the necessity of such, let's say, eternal tutelage, and the confidence that I have selected such a person like that. He says that is the whole crux of the matter of initiation. It lies in a mentality. Similarly, Srila Rupa Goswami says same thing in Nectar of Devotion. Nectar of Devotion is, I'm doing a Nectar of Devotion project, so I've been reading Srila Prabhupada's Nectar of Devotion. It's very nice and so beautiful, edifying. Anyway, we know that the most important aspects of the doorway of bhakti, there are 10 principles which are considered the door to bhakti, and 3 of them are considered superlative, accepting a guru, taking initiation, and serving a guru like that. The principle of taking initiation, when Srila Rupa Goswami quotes evidence for that, which he quotes evidence substantiating all the 64 regulative principles. The verse that he quotes from the Bhagavatam, giving expression to that principle, is, now I cannot think of it, Tata Bhagavatam Dharmam Shikshet Gurvatma Daivataha Amayaya Anuvritya Yaishtushet Atmatma Dohari. He quotes this verse, giving expression to this. What does that verse say? That one should take initiation from Guru. This is approach the guru, taking the guru as one's atma daivataha, as his very self, and as his worshipable deity. The idea of worshipable deity means service should be rendered to the guru, you know, not to this worshipable deity, the material body, but to that worshipable deity, the spiritual master, as you will render service to the Supreme Lord. Then, with that mentality, shikshet, you go and take instructions on Bhagavatam. Dharma on Bhagavatam Shikshet. You go and take instructions on Bhagavatam with that mentality. If you hear the Bhagavatam, then all the realizations will become manifest. Amayaya Anuvritya. You should render service to such a spiritual master without duplicity. You know, it means the duplicity of not actually having the mentality and just doing something in the name of formality or social pressure, whatever. Without duplicity, you go and render service. Then Krishna, seeing such a disciple, Atmatma Dohari, he gives himself to such a disciple. That's the verse that he quotes, which is the same. I felt it was the same statement as what Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur was saying. The whole crux lies in a mentality more than just in a ceremony. In other words, it's more than just a formal thing going on. It's a very deep signing off, if you will, of one's commitment and confidence that I am doing something that is substantial and not just shadow or some formality like that. But we have to admit, on account of contamination, that it is very hard to have such a consciousness. Therefore, it takes a long time to actually get such a consciousness. So we may take initiation without having such a consciousness, and we have to continue to improve ourselves. Initiation means the beginning, after all. What is that verse? Prabhupada quotes it in NOI 5. Dikshe kale bhakta kare atma samarpan, se kale krishna tare, krishna atma sam. That at the time of initiation, one surrenders his full atma to the spiritual master, body, mind, soul, everything. Really? No, thank you. And then, upon doing so, say Kale, at that time, Krishna considers such a person as good as himself. Krishna Atmasama. Krishna considers him as good as his own self. And therefore, that devotee, having been considered to be as good as Krishna, from the perspective of Krishna, can render service to Krishna. So, in other words, my point is that to actually come to that level may not be easy on account of, you know, contamination that we've been, caked up on the heart since time immemorial. So we should just honestly admit that. I don't know, I don't have that type of faith. And then from there, try to make progress. Instead of not having that type of faith and then trying to justify on the strength of Shastra Pramanam or something like that, some type of small-mindedness on account of lack of faith. You know, when you read the verses of Srimad Bhagavatam, you see the depth of what's going on in the scripture. You hear so-and-so went to so-and-so and he heard. And it's like, what's going on there? Nothing's going on. Nothing deep is going on. Arjuna was in bewilderment, and you know, I always used to think like this. If you would take the whole scene of Bhagavad Gita and look at it from a distance, then what you would see is Krishna pulled the chariot in the middle of the battlefield, and then an hour later he pulled it back. That's all you would actually see. You know, it doesn't look like anything deep went on. You know, he pulled it in the middle of the battlefield. There was some talking going on, and then he pulled it back. Of course, everyone could hear the talking. Srila Prabhupada says that thing. Maybe a really far distance, you couldn't hear the talking. And but a lot of deep things were going on. Aside from the teachings that were being received, which is extraordinary, more extraordinary than that, in a lot of ways, is Arjuna's acceptance of it in such a short period of time. Of course, he had the qualification. He's a, you know, Nitya Siddha, Nitya Parikar, part of Krishna's eternal entourage. So more powerful in one sense than being able to hear or to be able to give instructions, which many of us may be inclined to do or be inclined in cultivating that that position. More great than that is being able to actually hear and assimilate what we're receiving. That is a greater glory than in one sense, although both are absolute. It is a greater glory in one sense because it's so challenging. Karpanya dosho parata svabhava prichami tvam dharma samudha chetaha yashaya shan nishitam bruhitam me shishashayam shariman tvam. Who can do it? It's nice to quote. I like quoting that verse. Who can practically do it? Who can admit? Karpanya dosho parata svabhava. No one will admit. No one will admit. Everyone will admit that I have deep, profound faith. No one will admit that I'm suffering from miserly weakness. Or on account of being in a devotional community, we might have to say, I am very small and very insignificant. But, and then give my transcendental, you know, commentary. Oh. Not such an easy thing. To come to, actually come to the point of 2.7 Bhagavad Gita, took Arjuna 30 verses. How many lifetimes might it take us to get to that mentality? So rather, we will do good to become a little bit more humble. And just, you know, admit I don't have this type of faith that I need to evolve it step by step and take the necessary steps as indicated in Srila Prabhupada's transcendental literatures. So anyway, thank you for tolerating me. I know, I hope that, you know, y'all, anyway, you all know me now, by now, and I know the tone maybe didn't sound sweet. Like I said, I don't have a Madhurya mood, but I'm trying to be, it's still faith according to my little bit of faith that I also have. So thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jaya.